We're continuing in middle of paragraph Yud Beis. Va'omar lo hayareach. So now the moon responded to Hashem and said, Hoyil v'amarati lefanecha dover hogun, am I tasmi? Because I presented a reasonable argument, a logical argument, I have to be shrunken? Ki haloi kavanosi letoivo, because my intent is really good. Ki ani roitze sheyizkru Yisrael tomed boilom habo bezikorein chozok ubedas godoil haboa ide amuna. Because I want the Jews to be able to have this zikorein digdusha, to be always thinking about the purpose for which this world was created for, which is the final destination, which is Olam Haba. And we should have a powerful zikorein digdusha with das that comes together with emuna and through emuna. Umachmazeh shoalti. And that's why I presented my question about it being impossible to have two kings serving simultaneously. So that you, Hashem, should go ahead and subdue and eliminate the ra'ayin, v'tevatloi, and nullify it, so that this zikaron d'kedusha should not get messed up, because the ra'ayin is always looking to destroy the zikaron d'kedusha. So therefore, is it proper that because I asked this proper question, I should be forced to be shrunken? So Hashem responded to the moon, you're right, and therefore, in order to console you, in order to make you feel better, you will serve both by day and by night. Shehim ramezes al memshelas Yisrael hagdoshim boilom haza uboilom haba. Kamei shepirish hamarshosham ayin shom. Hashem was implying that the moon, which symbolizes the malchus of Klal Yisrael, will serve both in this world and in the next world. Meaning, Hainu kirak memshola v'nitzochin digdusha shehi nitzchi ze nikro nitzochin memshola. Because as we discussed earlier, it's only a kingdom or a victory for the holiness, for the side of holiness, which is something that's permanent and eternal. That's where it's conceivable to apply the word victory or success or authority or rulership. Avolehepech. Whereas if we're talking about a success that's not of the Kedusha, that's not permanent, Ein ze nitzochinu memsholo klal. We just said, Kirak memsholo v'nitzoch nekdusha shenitzchi, that's called memsholo. Ablepik is not. V'yalkein, afal pi shonu nivzim u'shvelim u'dvuyim u'schufim. And therefore, despite the fact that we, the Jewish people, or especially within the Jewish people, the religious people, are very considered very low and looked down upon in this world. Umaktinim atzmenu negdom harbe, and we lower ourselves tremendously in terms of prestige, in terms of world recognition, compared to the non-Jews or the non-observant Jews. Umuchrochim lehikona negdom, and we're forced to humble ourselves to be under their authority in many ways. Afal piken, despite that, zehu memshalteinu venitzchoinenu. This is our kingdom, and this is our success and victory. Ki onu menatzchim tomid, because we are always being successful. We are always being victorious. Despite the fact that it appears that we're the underdog now, in a sense, me'achar shekavanoseinu la'shamayim v'kanal, since our intent is to serve Hashem, our intent is to please Hashem, regardless of whether it's obvious or not obvious, we are on top. We are the ones. We are the focus of the entire world, and we are the ones who are considered to be the moishlim, the rulers, the victors. Ukamay Shamrazal, As, for example, the Gemara says, Lo'ilom yehe yodom rach kekone, valye koshek erez. The Gemara says that a Jew should try to live in a manner that he's soft and flexible, like a reed that blows in the wind and gets bent back and forth. She'afal pi she'koyfef enoysoy ad lo'ofor alofim pomim, where even if you bend this reed all the way down to the ground, you push it back or forward all the way down to the ground, afal pi kein hu chozok b'sharoshoy, despite that, it's solid in its roots, v'chol haruchoy sheboilam en yechoylam loikroy, and a hurricane can come and it will not be able to uproot the reed. It'll blow it back and forth hysterically, but the reed will outstand the hurricane and outlast the hurricane. The hurricane can last an hour, a week, whatever it is. The hurricane will leave and the reed will still be there, despite the supposed beating that it took, you know, getting swayed back and forth. And as Rabbeinu Zal explains in chapter 21, in the first half of Likut Imran, on the Pasuk and Tehillim, that all the greatness that Hashem has done im Eile with all the nations in the world, Higdel Hashem Lasoy Simonu, was really greatness for us, for Klal Yisrael. Shafilu Umay Soilam, Yovinu losit shekol gdulosim emeshaltam hoya kol gdulosenim emeshaltenu. Rabbeinu Zal reveals to us there that in the future, even the nations of the world are going to realize and understand that all the seeming greatness and authority and leadership that they had in this world was really our authority, our rulership. We were the ones really, we meaning the observant Jews, were the ones who were really in charge and really running the world and really the focus of the entire world. So now Rav Nosson Zal continues, Omar Omrole, so the moon said to Hashem again, Shraga Betiara Maya Hamani. What kind of thing is this? You're telling me that I'm going to serve by day and by night. I, the moon, am going to serve by day and by night. I'm like a candle. If I'm going to serve by day, the moon by day, what does it do? It's a joke. It's not giving off any serious light. Ki ba'olam hazeh, what this symbolizes is, ki ba'olam hazeh, because in this physical world that we're living in now, shenimshal lohem liyoim, which for the non-Jews, for the non-observant, this is referred to as their day, as their daylight, v'hatzlachosam gedoyla kol kach, and their success seems to be so great. They seem to be the ones who are on top, who are running the world, and who are living it up in a sense. V'nire l'roiv kilu heim levad me'irum u'moishlam u'manatzchem, and it appears to the majority of people in the world that they're the ones who are shining, they're the ones who are ruling, and they're the ones who are experiencing success. Alkein ein nikar nitzchoinenu memshaltenu klal. And therefore, even if you're telling me, I the moon, I who represent the Jewish people, the religious people, if you're telling me that I'm gonna be ruling by day, my rulership is a joke. I'm not noticed at all. My light goes completely unnoticed by day. You know, this, at the time that the other nations seem to be in charge and seem to be the ones who are shining and succeeding. Kemay shraga b'tira, just like a candle by day. V'alkein, and therefore, af al pi sheho emes sukach, even the moon is saying, even if what you're saying is true, Hashem, she sitra dikdusha b'emes menatzeach tomid, that the kedusha is always winning, the kedusha is always succeeding, ach roiv hoylam ein roiim zois, but majority of people don't see that and don't realize that. Umachmazer rabim noiflim, and it's for this reason that many Jews fall. What do they fall into? They fall into assimilation. They're ashamed to be Jewish. You know, they're looking to become absorbed in the other nations because it looks to them like this world is for the other nations, really. Or many observant Jews, Rachmona Litzlan, end up rejecting their observance of mitzvahs and everything for the same reason, because in this world today, it seems to be an embarrassment to be an observant Jew based on the majority, based on the statistics. Because these people can't handle the embarrassment and the insult and the degradation. Because in this world, the ra'ayin is extremely powerful. And it looks as if the forces of the ra'ayin are on top. It looks as if the non-Jews are on top, or the non-observant are on top. And this causes a tremendous shikha to affect the world. People forget about Olam Haba, or forget about Hashem, or forget about the true tachlis. To the point where it becomes extremely difficult, even for religious Jews, to be conscious, to maintain this consciousness of Olam Haba, of the world to come. Omar Leah, so Hashem responded to the moon, you're right. Limnu boch yomim vishonim. You know what? As a consolation, I'll have the Jews count their days and years, their months and years, by you. Those, they will follow the moon. Zebchinas chadoshim labakorim rabo manasecho. Rab Nosazal says, this refers to the renewal that a person has to try to have every single day to renew and refresh their emunah, their faith. This refers to the fact that Hashem renews the creation of the world every single day. And this refers to the tzimtzum that we spoke about earlier, that when Hashem first created the world, in order for there to be a creation, Hashem had to constrict himself to make room, in a sense. This also refers to the fact that each and every single day, kaviyochel, Hashem shrinks himself and lowers himself and makes appearances within our daily lives, lorame is lekol echad ramozim, to send each and every one of us messages, hence, to remind us about our real goal, our real purpose in life, which is the to get to the world to come. This is the real essence of what it means in the Torah when it speaks about Hashem renewing the world every day. The fact that Hashem each and every single day sends us new messages, new hints to draw us close to Him. And this is what Hashem meant when He said they will count. What's this concept of counting? Just like when a person has something that's counted, they're much more it's much more probable that they won't lose it, or they won't lose control of it in any way. Kain Yisrael moinen lalavono hayomim vishonim. So too, the Jewish people count our days and our years by the moon. Valideze shoimrim hayomim mishikho. And that's how we protect our days from being affected by this shikha, by this forgetfulness, this loss of consciousness of Hashem. Shehi b'chinas aveda, which is synonymous with a loss. Shikha, forgetting, and aveda, losing, those two terms are synonymous. K'may shekosu b'mokam achar, as is discussed in other places. Ki kol hayomim nimnin lalavona, because all of our days are counted by the moon. Shezeh hayoim echod b'chodesh. Today is the first day of the month. Vezeh hayoim beis b'chodesh. And today is the second of the month. Ulesoif. And at the end we have lamed, the 30th day of the month. Oichof tes yoim. Ulesoif lamed oichof tes yoim. Oisem rosh chodesh. And at the end of 30 or 29 days, we make rosh chodesh. We start a new month. And through this renewal, each time there's this hischatshus, it gives us this it protects this zikaron nekdusha. And this is why in the tefillah of Rosh Chodesh, in the Shmonesra of Rosh Chodesh, we say these words, zikaron lechulam yiyu. That Rosh Chodesh, the renewal of the new month, is a time for emphasizing and giving strength to this zikaron. Because the Jews are reminded every month, in every new month, that we are going to be renewed also, just like the moon is born again every month, we, the Jewish people, are going to be born again, are going to be renewed in the future, in Olam Haba. And so too, we know that Rosh Hashanah is also based on the moon. Because in the majority of years, there are 354 days in the 12 months. It's just once every few years we add a month, we add an Adar Sheni in order to straighten out the moon and the sun, in order to even them out. However, the main focus of the Jewish people, the Jewish calendar, is based on the moon. And as we learned earlier, the moon represents faith, that constriction of faith. And that's what really helps this Zikaron Degdusha. V'alkein, me'achar she'Yisrael mayin yomei nishnaisem la'lavona, bevadai lo yishloi Torah ayin, bechachmosei horo, lashkiach zikoroin hoylam habachas v'shalom. And since the Jews are counting their days and counting their years via the moon, we said before, counting ensures that there won't be a loss, there won't be shikha, but rather there'll be zikoroin. That's what protects us from this ra'ayin. Ra'ayin is a concept of chokhmah ra, which wants to try to impose shikha on the zikaron. So now, Amrale, so the moon said to Hashem, Yoimonami, yevshut aleimonu beit kufta. So what? You're telling me we count the days to the moon? The days also are related to the seasons, which follow the sun, follow the solar year more. Hainu shebehechrich limnois gam lachama, shehimat kufoi shnim lachama. That even a Jew cannot only count to the moon in this world, but rather even he has to come on to the sun, to the seasons, you know. Kemayshikosu vahoyu loisois ulamoyadim. Umish, and Rashi Kodesh the Gemara tells us that loisois there refers to the tkufois. And we know that it's from the sun that the sitrachro, the non-Jews who count by the sun, that's where they draw their energy from. Meaning, they, the non-Jews, or the sitrachra, would want to try to cause a break, a separation between the sun and the moon, and to force us to only follow the sun, to only follow their chochmos. Shaydeze matilin shikha v'kanal, which is what causes shikha. V'alkein yesh shlito la sitrachra b'chol dalet kufay sashona kyadua. And this is why the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that during the four seasons, the sitrachra does have a certain power. Shebishvil ze shoymrim atzmon be'es hatkufa. And this is why those days upon which the new season begins, a Jew has to watch himself. There's extra caution needed at that time. Ki oz yesh achiza lohorayin chas v'shalom. Because at that point in time, the ra'ayin has a certain power. Shiyanikosay mibchinas chochmas rois. The ra'ayin which draws its strength from the wrong types of chochmas. The hainu chochma b'li emuna, which means those chochmas that are not plugged into emuna. Shehibchinas umois oilam, which is the concept of the pagan nations. Shemoinin lachamo levad v'kanal, who only follow the sun. They don't want any contact with the moon. They're not interested in emuna whatsoever. They reject emuna completely. V'ze bechinas tekufta. And this is this concept of tekufois, the tkufos, the seasons, bechinas sabuni kamayim kol hayoyim hikifu alayachan. David HaMelech says, my enemies surrounded me like water. All day they encircled me. Bechinas achizas hora ayin shemesabev umakif olai kol hayoyim. This refers to this power of ra ayin, which surrounds me all day. Ki b'chol yoyim u'v'chol shono he mezgabrim negdeinu b'sivuvim rabim l'ashkiach amitas zikron olam habachashon. Because each and every single day and every year, the forces of the Sitra Achra encircle us, trying to get us to disconnect from this consciousness of Hashem. Omar lo, so Hashem said to the moon, Zili likrut tzadiki b'shmecha. You know what? We'll have tzadikim that will be named for you, for the moon. Yaakov hakoton, Shmuel hakoton, and that koton represents the moon. Hainu, what Hashem was referring to was Masha'ato misyore mehora ayin shemizgaber kol kash leashkiach hakol chasashon. The fact that you, the moon, are so worried and concerned about this ra ayin, that it shouldn't become so powerful that it'll cause a complete wipeout of the zikoron nigdusha, bevadai hoyobilti ef shalamoid negdoi bekatnus hashiflus kozeh. You're right. Based on how small the moon is, based on how low the emuna is in this world, and how low the kiddush is in this world, it would almost seem as if they're going to be totally wiped out and eliminated. Ach bekoyach hatzadikim hagdoilim huamitim. However, it's only with the help of the great true tzaddikim who have won the battle against the Sitra Achra completely, 100%. Veheim maktinim atzmom, and despite that, they keep themselves completely humble and small. Umetzamtzemim atzmom, they shrink themselves. Umoyridin atzmon, and they lower themselves. Lahachnez zikorin hoylam haba b'chol mi sheroitze lishmoy lemes, in order to teach about zikorin of hoylam haba to any person who's willing to listen to the truth. Afal pishu koton b'mayla ma'oid. Even if the person, that the student, is on the lowest possible level, v'loy omad b'kishrei hamelchama koroi, and this student did not stand up to his battles, you know, with the Sitra Achra properly, afal pikin, despite that, mechayin oisam, the tzadikim give that, nourish that person, they teach him, they help him, umazkirin oisam gamkein bedrochim nifloim, and they remind the person in incredible ways, they remind him about his true goal in life, al yidei shemetzamtzemim sichlom bekama tzimtzumim, through the fact that these tzadikim have the ability to lower themselves and to bring their thoughts down, at sheyuchlu lahachnis oemes bilvavam, to the point where they're able to shine truth into the hearts of their students, of those that are willing to listen. V'alkein nekroim koton, and it's for this reason that these tzaddikim are called koton, machmas shemaktinim atzma, bebchines moyer hakoton, shialavona, shenismay toiro v'nikton, machmas shash achizas raayim. It's based on the fact that these tzaddikim shrink themselves, they lower themselves, they make themselves an aspect of Moir HaKoton, which is like the moon, whose light has been lessened, because of the fact that the moon was afraid of the Ra'ayin. Ki kol ma shemisyorin yoyse mehora'ayin, tzrichin lemay toyer ula hastiroi, ula haktinoi, ula tzamtzem oysoi, b'chochmo niflo, b'oifen sheichlu lekabloi haktanem b'mala, v'lo yuchal hora'ayin leval v'ildaitum lashkichum lekanal. Rav Nosson Zal makes an incredible statement here, that the more that a person or anyone is afraid or vulnerable to the forces of Ra'ayin, that person we have to lessen the light for that person and hide the light and shrink it with tremendous tactfulness, very, very intelligently, in a manner that that person should be able, that person who's on a very, very low level should be able to receive the light, and the forces of Ra'ayin should not be able to notice it and want to attack it and want to mess up that person's mind and get them to forget Olam Haba. Rav Nosson Sal here is giving us some deep insights on the concept of Kiruv Rechoikim, and parents teaching children. All of these examples of a case of someone who's a Moir HaGodol and there's a Moir HaKoton, and how the Moir HaGodol deals with the Moir HaKoton, being sensitive to the forces of Ayin Hara, Ra Ayin, and knowing how to bring things down to the person's level. And this is, Rav Nosson Sal says, this is the essence of what Hashem meant when Hashem said to the moon, you go lessen yourself, you go shrink yourself. Shomar lo, whereby Hashem said this to the moon, machmas shehoisam isyora mehora ayin, because Hashem saw that the moon is afraid and vulnerable to the forces of Ra'ayin. Hainu, she'adaraba, daiko machmazeh tzrichen lamayit ulatzamtzem hoer yoyser kanal. Meaning, you're saying, give me more light. No, on the contrary. You're saying, give me a lot of light because of the forces of the Sitra Achra that are around. On the contrary, because of the forces of the Sitra Achra, therefore we have to be careful to give you the light in thimblefuls, in very small quantities, in a manner that doesn't make waves, in a sense. A person who makes waves, everybody's looking, watching that person, you know, everybody's looking to harm that person, to attack that person. Whereas a person who keeps low profile, if things are done low profile, low key, small, then it's able to get through. It's able to go unnoticed to a much larger degree by the Sitra Achra and able to be more successful. Ach kishemetzamsimim ho'er yoiser umaktinim umalim emoisoi yesh sha shelo yedu v'layiru klal niflois or azikon amiti. However, if we're talking about shrinking the light and lowering it and making it small and everything, then there's always that worry of it being too small, too tiny, that it shouldn't be able to assist at all in feeding the zikor and the kedusha the way it needs to. That's why the moon kept coming back, arguing with Hashem, because the moon was afraid that even after Hashem's arguments, But still, you understand? Still, you're talking about shrinking the light. If you shrink the light, then how in the world am I going to stand up to the forces of Ra'ayin? V'omar lo Hashem Yisborach. Therefore, in the end, Hashem said to the moon, Shehatzadikim yikoru al shmo b'shem koton, that the tzadikim are going to be with you. They're also going to be called koton, just like you, just like the moon. Dahainu shehem yoidim ech lahaktin ulahalim uletzamtzem ho'or ba'ifin shiagiu horemozim shem azikorim afilu lechol haktanim b'maylav kanal. Meaning, Hashem was explaining to the moon that the tzaddikim are the ones who understand how to lower and shrink and hide the light in a manner that those that are on a low level should, yes, receive the remozim that they need, and yet not be harmed by the Ra'ayin. V'alkein hizkir elu hashloisha tzadikim. And now we can understand why Hashem specifically mentioned these three names, these three tzadikim. Yaakov hakoton, Ushmuel hakoton, v'David hakoton. Ki elu hagimel heim bechinas shoyresh malchus Moshiach. Because these three represent the foundations of Moshiach. Shaydeze Ikara hachnoa sora ayin, kamashikozashon. And as we learned earlier, Moshiach is going to be the one who is going to be able to succeed in total in destroying and eliminating completely this ra ayin. Ki Yaakov hu klal Yisrael, she ikra malchus Moshiach yaleim. Because Yaakov Avinu is the person who represents Bnei Yisrael versus the other nations. Because Avram is not Bnei Yisrael. Avram had a Yitzchak and a Yishmael. Yitzchak is not Bnei Yisrael. Yitzchak is Yaakov and Esav. When we come to Yaakov, that's when we're talking about Bnei Yisrael only. eliminating, leaving out all the other nations. So that's the first, when we're talking about describing the Malchus of Kedusha, Moshiach, step one is that Moshiach comes from Yaakov Avinu. Not from Avram, not from, he comes from Yaakov Avinu. Now, Ki Yaakov hu klal Yisrael shikamachas Moshiach yaleim. Ki Yaakov hoysa mitosoi shlema. Because Yaakov Avinu was the first one whose bed was complete, was whole, was perfect. Meaning, ki Avram yotza mimenu Yishmael, Yitzchok yotza mimenu Esav. Because from Avram Avinu came forth a Yishmael. From Yitzchok Avinu came forth an Esav. V'Yishmael v'Esav heim ikar bechinas ra'ayin. And these two, Yishmael and Esav, they are ra'ayin. They are the essence of ra'ayin. They are the representatives of the forces of ra'ayin, those who look with an evil eye at Klal Yisrael. Kihein bechinas train ananin de mechasyan aleinu. They are referred to as the two clouds which cover the eyes. Shehu bechinas ra'ayin. Those clouds are this concept of ra'ayin. Avol Yaakov hoysa mitosoi shleima miyud beis shiftei ko. Shehem keneged yud beis roshei chadoshim, shehem klal Yisrael. However, Yaakov Avinu was zeichet that all of his children were pure. He didn't have any Esavs or Yishmaels. And he produced 12 holy tribes, which correspond to the 12 months, the 12 Rosh Chodeshes. Shehem klal Yisrael. Ki lo nesarev bohem zor. No outsiders got mixed into Yaakov Avinu's family. Yaakov Avinu did not have any Esavs or Yishmaels. V'hu harishoin shehischil lahamshir bo'ilam kedushas am kodesh Yisrael levad b'li achizas psul. He was the first one to introduce into the world the holiness of the Jewish people without any other flavors, without any sprinkles or seeds or anything, without any Esavs or Yishmaels involved. Shezeu b'chinas Malchus Moshiach. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu represents Malchus Moshiach. She'ikar Malchusai hu Malchus Yisrael. Because the main Malchus of Moshiach will be his rulership over Klal Yisrael. V'alkein be'emes b'kesh Yaakov l'galos haketz. And this is why the Torah tells us that at one point, Yaakov Avinu was ready to introduce Mashiach. He was ready to reveal, the Mashiach. Ki sovar, because he thought, me'achar shemitosei shleima b'b'chinas kedushas Yisrael levad, shibchinas malchus Mashiach, alkein yuchal galos haketz. Because it seemed to Yaakov Avinu that the fact that he had succeeded in producing only pure children, which means Klal Yisrael, the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael, which is the source of Malchus Mashiach, he thought, hey, this is it. We've got the formula. We've got all the pieces now. Ach nestalka mimenu shechina. However, when he was about to do that, the shechina left him. Ki adayin loy higi azman, because the time had not yet arrived. Nimtza sheyakoy bechinas shoyresh malchus Moshiach shehi malchus Yisrael. So therefore, based on that episode, we see that Yaakov Avinu was the beginnings of Moshiach, which is malchus Yisrael. Ki mimenu yetzu kulam Moshiach v'Yisrael, yotzu kulam Moshiach v'Yisrael, b'li psul Esav, etc. Shehi bechinas Ryan kanal. Because it's from Yaakov Avinu that came forth Moshiach and Bnei Yisrael, without any garbage, without the Esav and Yishmaels. Ushmuel, now, and Shmuel, which Rav Nosson Zal writes in the footnote that you see on bottom of the page, that even though in the Gemara over there, the Shmuel that it's referring to, according to Pshat, refers to one of the rabbis of the Gemara, Rav Nosson Zal here says that it's that Shmuel HaKoton, Be'inyan Shmuel HaKoton shepirashti al Shmuel HaNovi, ato motzosi b'sefer Shiloh HaKodesh, shepirash gam kein al Shmuel HaNovi, v'chein muva b'sefer Maram Shif. Rav Nosson Zal says, despite the fact that in the Gemara, you will see that there are some commentaries that say that the Shmuel that's being referred to over there is a different Shmuel. If you look in the Shiloh HaKodesh and in the Maram Shif, you'll see that the Shmuel being referred to there refers to Shmuel Hanavi. Ushmuel Moshach as David. We know that who is the one who declared, who initiated the kingdom of Moshiach? It was Shmuel Hanavi, who was the one who anointed King David. And therefore, he was the one who activated the forces of the Malchus of David HaMelech. Ki David hu shoresh Malchus Mashiach. Because we know that David HaMelech is the root, the source, and the foundation of Malchus of Mashiach. Ki mimenu hischil Malchus Mashiach sheitzmenu. Because it's from David HaMelech that there began the kingdom and the rulership of Moshiach, who comes from David HaMelech. V'hu ba'atzmoy nikra Moshiach. And we find that in the Torah, David HaMelech is sometimes called Moshiach. K'may shekotzuv, as the Pasuk says, Moshiach Elokei Yaakov. U'kemuva ba'toranal, and as is brought in the chapter on Likut Imran, that this halach is based on. V'alkein hizkir elu ha'gimel tzadikim. Now we could understand why Hashem specifically chose to, when he spoke to the moon, to make reference to these three tzaddikim, Yaakov, Ushmuel, v'David, ki heim b'chinas shoyresh malchus Moshiach, shaydei ze ikrach noas harayim kana. Because it's these three tzaddikim that represent the foundation of the kingdom of Moshiach, who is the one who will succeed most in eliminating, in defeating the Ra'ayin completely. Now Rav Nosson Zal continues, Chazio doloi miyasva daito. Hashem saw that after all of this, the moon still wasn't being consoled, wasn't pacified. Ki hagolus misareich moid, because the exile is continuing for a very long time. Uman yochil emizbalei, and who can handle it? Who can withstand it? Ki ikar hatikva v'haavtocho hu shemachfiach lo lismoich al koyach hatzadikim amitim hu anovim be'emes hamaktinim atzvon kanal. Because we saw that the main salvation and the main assurance that Hashem gave the moon was, don't worry, there'll be true tzadikim who will be humble on the highest levels of humility, and they'll help you. Aval hora ayin mizgara boze biatzmai biyoser. However, we see that the ra'ayin is fighting this itself in an incredible way. Ki meinia chatzmai l'orkoi ul'rochboi b'chol koichoi l'racheik ma'oid meitzadikim amitim ko'elu. Because the ra'ayin is fighting with all its energy possible to block people from coming close to these true tzadikim. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so Hashem said to the moon, Haviu olai kapora. You know what? The Jewish people will bring a special sacrifice of atonement on my behalf every Rosh Chodesh to atone for what I've done to you. Hainu soer Rosh Chodesh. This refers to the special goat that was brought on Rosh Chodesh. Shaydei ze ikar hachnoas hora ayin shehu esov ish seir. This is one of our nuclear weapons. This goat that's brought on Rosh Chodesh, a goat is a soir. This soir is what blasts to smithereens Esav Ish Seir. Esav, who is referred to as Seir, the hairy one. Same letters. Vezehu hevi olai kaporo. And this is why Hashem said, this will be an atonement for me. With this statement, Hashem was guaranteeing the moon that the Jews definitely will maintain their zikara in the kedusha, and they will definitely repent in the end. Because the fact that the moon was so persistent and persevered so much in battling, you know, negotiating with Hashem, to the point where the moon god Hashem himself to express regret, in a sense, over the fact that he lessened the moon. This is the source and the basis for tshuva for the entire world. K'may shekosav Atmor, as Rabbeinu Zal writes, in the first half of Likutei Moran, chapter 10, and in the second half of Likutei Moran, in chapter 1. That it's because of this incident between Hashem and the moon, this is what established Rosh Chodesh as a special, special day of tshuva. Nimtza shehi betucha shebevada yizkur Yisrael boilam haba v'yeshuva betshuva me'achar shepoalo shenishav al yidei tana Yisrael sherish ha'tshuva shehi ma sheshem izboruch b'yatzma mischorot kanal. Therefore, in the end, the moon is confident and positive that Klal Yisrael will definitely, yes, have this zikor in the kedusha of Olam Haba, and they will do tshuva as a result of the, you know, based on the success of the moon in its arguments with Hashem, which is mamish the foundation of the concept of tshuva, the fact that we see Hashem himself expressing regret. This is an interesting point, that it's brought in Sforim, that whenever if two people are involved in a conflict and one of them perceives that the other one has wronged them in a terrible, terrible, terrible way, the one who feels that they've been wronged, sometimes it's extremely difficult for that person to accept an apology. Apology? What are you, nuts? What's an apology? Apology is nothing. Apology is just words. Apology takes you 10 seconds to say, you know what you did to me? You know the pain? You know the embarrassment? You know the shit? You know the damage that you did? However, if we could create a situation whereby the one who's been wronged, the one who feels deeply hurt and wronged and everything, becomes aware of the fact that they have also done something wrong, for which they need to apologize for, which they need to feel regret, and they need somebody to accept their apology, to be willing to accept their apology. If we could create such a situation, if that's the case, that makes it a billion times easier for them to be able to accept an apology, you know, from the one who they feel wronged them so much. And this is how the Sforim explain this concept, where Kavyochel Hashem makes it seem as if Hashem did something wrong for which Hashem has to apologize. Once we establish that as the fact, as reality, now for us little Jews who have made terrible mistakes, who have insulted Hashem and offended Hashem with all of our veros, and when we want to come to stand before Hashem and say we're sorry, we apologize, our Yetzer is telling us, what are you, crazy? Hashem, who is the epitome of perfection, and you who are the epitome of imperfection, how dare you have the audacity to stand before, you know, you think Hashem is could possibly accept an apology of you, could possibly accept your regret there? And the answer is, by us knowing that Kaviyachol Hashem himself makes it appear as if he's apologizing for something, suddenly we'll swap apologies. Suddenly it becomes a swap. Suddenly it becomes negotiable. Umizeh Hashirish Bevada Yagiolahem Hirhure Tshuva Achiyashuva Hashem Emes. And based on this foundation, this is what definitely makes it possible for every single Jew to be able to have sincere thoughts of tshuva and to eventually make a complete tshuva. Ki halavona poalo betanoi seho, because the moon, with its arguments, accomplished shenotzcho as Hashem Yisborach, that it succeeded. The moon won the argument, kaviyachol, against Hashem, ad shehischaret alamiyut, to the point where kaviyachol Hashem expressed regret, apology, for the fact that Hashem lessen the light of the moon. V'tzivo sheYisrael yaviu olav kapora. And Hashem actually instructed Bnei Yisrael, listen, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to submit an apology on my behalf. I want you to bring this goat on Yom Kippur that should serve as an apology from me to the moon. U'mizeh yotzolonu kama remozim v'tikvois toivois. And this gives us, the Jewish people, incredible insights and hope and hints. She'onu b'tuchim, that we can be assured, she'bevadai lo yazov esanu ad she'nosh ve'lebemes, that Hashem will not forsake us, but rather Hashem will see to it that we also will be zeichet to a complete shuv in the end. Because by the fact that the moon achieved this incredible victory, in a sense, over Hashem, kavyochol, that Hashem had to express regret, and Hashem has to submit an apology, that makes it possible for anybody. There is nobody that could say, I can't apologize. I can't. And this is what assures us, Klal Yisrael, that we definitely do have the ability and we will eventually do complete repentance. And so too, in the fact that we saw that the moon had the ability to win, to defeat Hashem with its arguments, Zer remez Yeshua lanu l'chol Yisrael shemanei l'alvona sheyesh lanu tikve shenizke gam kein lenatzeach es hizbora betfiloseinu kemo shenitzcha halavona yisei betanu yisrael. This is what gives hope and confidence to all the Jewish people who live by the moon, that is, that we also have the ability to defeat Hashem with our arguments, with our prayers, just as the moon defeated Hashem with its arguments. Because this is what Hashem wants. Hashem wants us to defeat him with our prayers, with our arguments. U'kemoshom razal, as the Gemara says, lamnatzeach mizmor, the Gemara says, zamru l'mi shemenatzchano yisrei v'sameach. We sing to the one who enjoys being defeated. Hashem enjoys when we defeat him with our prayers, with our... Ki Hashem yizborach hu natzchon amiti, because Hashem is the ultimate victor. Bechinas v'gam netzach Yisrael lo yishoker. As the Pasuk says, that Hashem will never be defeated. Hashem never lies. Ki moyes benitzochen shel sheker. Hashem despises any false kind of victories. V'al kein ikar netzchoyno yuk shanachnu menatzchon yisrael shepoyle etzleinu sheyishivenu olav. And therefore, Hashem's greatest success is when we defeat him and we achieve a complete repentance. Now, it's defeat him in the sense that we've done things to anger Hashem. Hashem is very angry. He wants to destroy us. He's making all kinds of plans to wipe us out. And we destroy all of his plans. How? By doing a sincere repentance. Because this is what Hashem really wants. As the Pasuk says, Ukro'eni b'yoyim tzora. The Jews will cry out to me, will call out to me at their time of suffering, at their time of difficulty. Achaltzeko, I will release them. Usechabdeni, and I will draw great honor from this. This will honor me. It's not that Hashem walks out embarrassed. This is Hashem's greatest honor and Hashem's greatest desire to have the Jews defeat his plans, chas v'shalom, for destruction of the Jews, his plans. V'gam al yedei shashem yizborach bikesh mi Yisroel sheyeschapru b'adoy. And in addition, the fact that Hashem has requested the Jewish people to be the ones to offer the apology on his behalf, to bring this atoning goat on his behalf. K'ma shekosu hoviu alai kapora, bozeh hoidi alohem, shekaporosoi kavyochol tluyo bohem. Through this, Hashem has made a statement, a clear statement, that kaviyachol, Hashem's atonement, depends on us. She kaviyachol eino yochol lesakein miyut hayareach shegora machizas asidrach roshem yichon arichas agolus ki ilu ein biyodoy lesakein kiim alidei Yisroel sheyechapru badoy. That kaviyachol, Hashem has set things up in such a way that Hashem cannot undo the mistake. Hashem can't correct the situation without Klal Yisrael. Hashem has made it obvious that Kavyochol, he wants to be dependent on us. Ki ein chovush matir es atzmoy mibeis asurim. Because we have a rule in Yiddishkeit that one who is tied up, one whose hands are tied, cannot release himself. He needs someone else to come and release him. So kavyochol, if Hashem has a problem, kavyochol, Hashem needs someone else to get him out of it. Who's the someone else? Klal Yisrael. These are obviously very deep, delicate concepts, but they're very serious concepts. These are things which give us incredible clarity in understanding what our role as Jews is in the world, you know, related to all the nations and related to Hashem. What our dependency is upon Hashem, and what Kavyochol Hashem's dependency is upon us. How Kavyochol Hashem has chosen, has decided to set things up in such a way to make himself dependent upon us. One of the interesting places where this is expressed, for those that read in the Machzor of Yom Kippur, on the night of Yom Kippur, right before Kol Nidre, there's a special chapter from the Zohar Kodesh, from the Tikkuni Zohar, that appears in some of the Machzorim, where it discusses the concept of one who makes a vow and who can't release themselves from the vow, but there are others that can release them. Let's say if a wife makes a vow, her husband, in certain circumstances, has the ability to release her from her vow. And in certain instances where even a husband can't release, a court of three can. And there it discusses Kavyachol, the vow that Hashem made to punish the Jews and to exile us, etc., etc. And Kavyachol, Hashem is the wife, and Yisroel Mamshaloysov, Klal Yisroel, or the Tzadikim, in some respects, symbolize Kavyachol, the husband of Hashem, in a sense. And the court of three is Avram Yitzchok Yaakov, you know, who have the ability to release. And I'm just giving you some small smatterings of what the Tikkun Ezra discusses there in terms of that if Hashem feels stuck by the vows that he made to punish us and to exile us, again, as a result of our misdeeds and everything, no problem. There are those who can release Hashem from these handcuffs, from these chains, from this vow that Hashem has obligated himself to, you know, etc. V'zeh b'chinas ki yod al keis ko. This is what's referred to when the Pasuk says at the end of Parshas Beshalach that Kavyochol Hashem places his hand upon his throne to swear, she'ein Hashem sholem, ve'ein hakiseh sholem. And the Gemara tells us, look at this. It says case. Chof Samach. There's no such word in Hebrew, case. The word is kisei. Kisei means a throne. And it says ko, yud kei. That's not Hashem's name. Hashem's name is not yud kei. Hashem's name is yud kei vav kei. Hashem is telling us that his throne and his name are incomplete, kavyochol, are defective, are lacking. Bechinas nishba Hashem b'yaminoi. As the pasuk says, Hashem has sworn with his right hand, shelo yachzer hayomin, kemuva b'zohar kodesh, shebechol ze moidi alanu, shehu yizbora, that Hashem will not withhold his kindness, and he will not withhold the ketz hayomin, the coming of Moshiach. Shekol ze moidi alanu, shehu yizbora, tomid imonu b'chol hatzorois, u'b'chol agolis. All of this is a message for us to know that when we, the Jewish people, are in suffering, Hashem is in suffering with us. When we are in exile, Hashem is in exile with us. V'lo yetze misham ad she'anachnu nechaper badoy. And Hashem will not be released from his suffering. Hashem will not be released from his exile until we atone on his behalf, Kavyochol. Until we, Dahainu Shenoshu B'tshuva, meaning until we do a sincere, complete tshuva. Kamesh Kosov, as the Zohar HaKadosh says, Les Milsodo Talya Ela B'tshuvta, that this item, the redemption, the Geula, depends only on one thing, tshuva. As the pasuk says, uvo letzion goel, uleshove fesha b'yakov, you know. Uperkono delay, and kavyochel Hashem's release, the ihu tshuva, which is tshuva, talya b'yadehoin, is dependent on us. It's in our hands. It's in the hands of the Jewish people. Yisroel mamshel kavyochel. Again, a person would say that there are people who don't know much about religion or who don't know enough, who will hear this and say, this is blasphemy, this is against the Shulchan Aruch, this is kfir. If they say that, it's only amaratzis. They simply haven't learned. They haven't learned the Gemara, they haven't learned the Zohar HaKodesh, they haven't to know that this is the real picture. That kavyochol, this is how Hashem, what do you mean, this is insulting the Hashem? I've never heard such horrible, such crazy, ridiculous, Hashem depends on us, what are you talking? The answer is kavyochol, Hashem, this is the way Hashem has designed it. It's that this isn't a weakness on Hashem's part, chas v'shalom, in any way. Hashem is, with his infinite humbleness and out of his infinite love for Bnei Yisrael, Hashem set it up in such a way. Just like the fact that Hashem didn't finish the job, kavyachol, in creating the world. He didn't create bread. He didn't create clothing. He created a world that's incomplete, that's defective, where you got to first plant, and then you got to harvest, and then you got to crush up the seeds, and then you got to go through 100 different procedures before you get a slice of bread out of the whole deal. And kavyochol Hashem created man with an orla, and then on the eighth day the moel has to go in and kavyochol fix the job. He's got a complete kavyochol what Hashem didn't. What do you mean? Hashem couldn't? Of course Hashem could. Hashem chose not to. Hashem chose to make himself, to make his artwork dependent on us. That if a Jew, chas v'shalom, does not have a bris milah, then that Jew is allowing their child, walking around without a bris milah, is a reflection of the incompleteness, of the defectiveness of Hashem's creation, kavyachol. And it's only a Jew who follows Hashem's instructions, who follows the instructions of the Torah, to get a mile, to come in on the eighth day and fix up the job and complete the job, that person is completing the work of Hashem kavyachol. V'alkein bevadai soif kol soif ha'hechrech sheno shaveilov me'achar shekaparosei bi'atzmai kavyachol tolei bazeh. And therefore, you can be positive that in the end, the Jews will definitely repent. Especially if we're saying that Hashem depends on that. Hashem himself is dependent on upon that. And if we know if Hashem depends on it, you can be sure that Hashem will work out circumstances, will see to it that things will get fixed. Because Hashem is the ultimate in victory. Hashem himself is the assurance, the guarantee that he'll be with us in Golus, and that the Jews will not go lost, chas v'shalom, completely in Golus, as the Torah tells us many places. V'zehu b'yatzmoy b'chinas hoviu alai kapora. This is this concept whereby Hashem says, I want you, the Jewish people, to atone on my behalf. Shaydeze onu muvtochim. This is what assures us and guarantees us that eventually we will definitely be zeche to do a true, complete tshuva. Shezehu ikar kaparosei. This is the true atonement on behalf of Hashem. Shonot tzrichim lahavi alav, which we have to bring. Dahainu korban Rosh Chodesh. This is the essence of that soyer of Rosh Chodesh. Ki ikar hakorban hu atshuva kiyadua, because we know that whenever a Jew brought a sacrifice in the Beis Hamikdash of the Mishkan, the main effectiveness of the korban was dependent on the tshuva of the one who was bringing it. And now, if we're being taught that Hashem's atonement is dependent on our korban, which means dependent on our tshuva, al kein bevadai no shvei lov. This is what assures us that you can bet that eventually we definitely will do a complete tshuva. Ki hu yizborach yenatzeach b'vadei. Because Hashem is going to win. Hashem is going to come out totally clean and victorious. And if his cleanliness depends on our tshuva, you can bet your boots that we are going to do a complete, solid tshuva. V'yafal pi shoviyo lai kapur enemar gam al zman shebeis mikdashkayim sho yitzrichon lavi sorish chodesh. And even though you might ask, but hold on a second, you're telling me that these words, hoviyo lai kapura, refer to golus and refer to the defectiveness and refer to a time when the Jews have to repent and everything. But hold on a second. This kapura was being brought during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Wasn't that a time when things were great? When the Jews were wonderful and so... Afal pikein, still, gam oz, hoyebchinas golus hashchina bedakus. Even when we did have the Beis HaMikdash, things were not perfect, you know, by far. There still was an aspect of Golus Hashchina on a certain level. Based on the fact that the Pagam of Adam Rishon had not yet been corrected completely. And the Miat HaYoreach had not yet been corrected completely. And therefore, eventually, we ended up losing the Beis HaMikdash, and we ended up getting bounced out of Eretz Yisrael completely. Ki b'chinas ki yod al keis ko, she'ein shmoish v'kisoy sholem, ze loy nistaken gam bimei habayis. Because this concept of the fact that Hashem's name was incomplete, and Hashem's throne was incomplete, even during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, that was true to a certain degree, on a certain level. Kilo yushlam b'shleimus ad sheyovoi Moshiach, because that will not be perfected until Moshiach comes. Kamei shekosav, as it says over there in the pasuk, milchomo l'Hashem b'Amolek midoer doer, that this battle of Hashem against Amolek continues throughout all the generations. V'dor shrazan, the Gemara says over there, ad doiroi shel Moshiach. This will continue until Mashiach. So it's not that when we had the Beis HaMikdash, everything was all correct, everything was all perfect. Rav Nosson Zal adds now, V'hadvorim muvonim libekim k'tzas b'sifri emes. This whole discussion that we just had can be understood by those who have some knowledge in Sifrei Kabbalah. V'ayin b'tikunim. And look in the Tikkuni Zohar, where the Tikkuni Zohar discusses the concept of Kan Tzipor even during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, showing there how even when there was a Beis HaMikdash, the Shekhinah was not totally perfected. Things weren't in complete Tikkun yet. Ayin Sham, look over there, Tikkuni Zohar, and you'll understand this better, or completely.